You're listening to The Bridge Loud in Chicago on Q Rock 100.7 FM and online worldwide via thebridgechicago.com. Hey, this is Jed Brewer. Here's tonight's question. A guy I knew from school died last year. After that, I found out he had sexually assaulted my sister. I want to help. What can I do? Let's get into it.
With you here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm here with Clint Fitzgerald.
Yep, let's do it.
And Jed Brewer.
I just want to get right into it.
We are, as we do every week, answering a question that came in to thebridgeloud@gmail.com. This week's question says, a guy I knew from high school died last year. After that, I found out he had sexually assaulted my sister. I want to help. What can I do? Obviously, this is a big topic. This is actually something a ton of people deal with, so when we sense about it, we want to get in. There are things you can do to be able to help. And a lot of that starts with things you cannot do that you may want to do, right, Clint?
Absolutely right. As dudes, our sense of trying to deal with things like this is to figure out how do we fix it. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of our go-to mentality. The truth is, unless you build a time machine and go back in time, there is no way to fix it. I mean, you could, go out with your sister and pee on his grave, and you'd all feel better about that.
Sure.
But that's not really.
Ace would water the grass. That's
yeah,
good too.
That's environmentally friendly.
Yeah, it's organic and everything, but it doesn't necessarily address the core problem or really allow us to move forward in terms of healing the emotions of the situation.
You're absolutely right, and Jed, that's maybe a complicating factor here, but almost always also it's a factor of this particular situation is there's not someone we can deal with the assailant.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting point because you want to resist the urge to make this about what it says about your sister. It doesn't say anything about her, but yeah. The person who this defines is dead now. So how do we deal with that?
That's a great question. Here, this is really important. This is something that comes up with a lot of the work that we do. Abuse says something about the abuser.
Absolutely right.
Not about the person who was abused. If you can dig it, the cruelest thing about abusive behavior, whether it's sexual assault or emotional abuse or something else, is that the person who was the recipient of the abuse simply didn't matter in any way to the abuser.
Right.
They weren't thinking about that person at all, which is really, that makes it far worse than we would want to think even at first blush. Here's the bottom line. This awful thing that occurred to your sister does not say anything about her. It did not say anything about her then. It wasn't her fault. She did not contribute to it in some way. It didn't say anything about her then. It doesn't say anything about her today. And we need to begin and end this discussion by being clear for ourselves and being clear in the way that we interact with the sister that that is the bottom line truth. This says nothing about you. The end.
You're absolutely right. It does give a specific set of challenges and a specific set of things we need to address and get over. There is emotional fallout. Some people who are survivors of sexual abuse have symptoms that are similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. This is all stuff we can deal with and we can get our mind around it. But as both these guys are saying, it's important to point out that this does not define your sister as a part of her. And in that way, to go back to what Glenn was saying, this is the fact that your sister is a sexual assault survivor is not a problem about her that needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm,
this
mm-hmm.
is not a goal where we want to, as quickly as we can, get to the point where this is not something we have to think about anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is a long process. It's a complicated one. There'll be, you know, fits and starts and good days and bad days, and all that's fine. All that is, you can deal with all that, and we're going to come back and give you some more ways to get started on that journey. You can keep going with it right here on The Bridge Loud. With you here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm once again here with Glenn Fitzgerald.
Peeing on graves is technically wrong. I just want to make sure I point that out.
Sure, we've always said that. Also joined here by Jed Brewer.
Is it, Glenn? Is it?
Kind of.
Ah.
We were so sure when the segment started, and now Jed's really talked us into something different. We're continuing to answer a question that came into thebridgeloud@gmail.com. You are always welcome to write in a question there yourself. This week, our friend said, a guy I knew from high school died last year. After that, I found out he had sexually assaulted my sister. I want to help. What can I do? And in this segment, we want to give you some kind of go that next step after what we Well, in the first segment, we want to give you some more context, some more background. But the real question here is, what can I do? And Glenn, where do we start with that?
Well, I think it's important that you say these words out loud, "I believe you."
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're expressing to someone else something horrible has happened to you, you're asking yourself, does this person buy what I'm saying? Therefore, do they have sympathy with me? If you don't think they buy what you're saying, then you automatically assume, well, they don't sympathize with me. They're not on my side in this thing. Here's the thing. Our work involves doing a Christian ministry with guys and gals who are behind bars and then working with them as they get released and helping to plug them into social service stuff and church stuff. And what we see is when they have been abused in any way, but particularly sexually, there's a tendency to internalize that, as we were talking about in the last segment, of I think this says something about me, and we want to make it clear this is not your fault and it's not for you to internalize that.
You're absolutely right. And a part of that believing you, the person, which is absolutely the way to go, is, and Jed, if I can get you to speak to this, we're not trying to diagnose the situation. This is not follow-up questions. As Glenn said, it needs to involve the words "I believe you," and kind of needs to stop there, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. A person who is sharing their story with you, who has experienced any form of abuse, but particularly a form of sexual abuse, they really primarily need two things from you. To be clear that you believe them, and simply for you to be supportive of the journey that they're on. So say the following words as I say them. "I'm sorry this happened. It is not your fault. This doesn't change how I think about you." Most survivors of really any form of sexual abuse need to hear you say those words. I'm going to say it again. "I'm sorry this happened. It's not your fault. This doesn't change how I think about you." Now, you might be thinking, well, why would I need to say that? Because, you know, that should be implied.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. But why do you need to say, "I believe you"? Because a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, one of the things that survivors of sexual abuse encounter is, if they choose to share their story, a lot of people do not believe them.
Yeah, they feel like they're taking sides in some way.
Exactly right. The idea of, you know, "This doesn't change how I think about you." Well, I mean, of course it doesn't. And they should know that. No, actually, unfortunately, we live in a culture and an environment where a lot of people go in a different direction with that. So it's important to say those words out loud. "I believe you. I'm sorry this happened. It's not your fault. This doesn't change how I think about you."
You're absolutely right on that. That goes to exactly what these, as we say, people have been in this situation, have some preconceptions, and that's whether society put that on them, whether that's just an inherent kind of guilt, as Glenn is talking about. And part of this "I believe you" is, don't ask what they were drinking, don't ask what they were wearing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
"I believe you. I'm sorry this happened. What can I do?"
Yep.
You can do that. We believe in you, and we're going to come back with more tips on The Bridge Loud.
Rude.
Loud.
We are back with you here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I am joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
Yep.
And Jed Brewer.
Glad to be here.
Continuing to answer a question that came into thebridgeloud at gmail.com. Friend says, a guy I know from school died last year. After that, I found out he had sexually assaulted my sister. I want to help her. What can I do? Glenn, there's one big thing someone's going to do that's going to help here. It's not the most natural thing to a lot of male-minded persons,
right?
But it's the main thing, and that's listening, right?
Absolutely, Ryan. It's important to listen to people. Here's the thing. If someone tells you, and this has happened to us in the work that we do, as we mentioned in the last segment, we work with people coming out of jail and dealing with horrible stuff like this, and you're trying to help them on a spiritual tip. But here's the thing, is that when someone tells you they've been sexually assaulted in this way, the first thing you do is you freak out.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, and you're thinking of saying and doing stuff when you really need to be thinking in terms of just listen and process it. You won't know what to say or do, that's okay. But as Jed's going to point out, and you're going to point out, it's about getting that help and cheerleading them on that more so than you trying to do something with that. It's more important to listen and be there and be someone who's there for them in that.
You're absolutely right. And Jed, to build on that, there are going to be a lot of times when you don't know what to say or do, maybe times when the person who's going through themselves doesn't know what to say or do. The important thing is there are experts out there who know what needs to happen at what point, right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. When the people in your life, people that you love, come to you, they're not looking for you to be an expert. They're right. Not confused that maybe you secretly have a degree in counseling. You're my brother. I'm talking to you because I want to talk to my brother. And so the gift you can give is listening, simply a listening, supportive ear. But the other thing, of course, is to recognize your sister may, it's not a guarantee, but she may need some help from people who do have real expertise. Matt, you mentioned in the first segment that sexual assault survivors can experience symptoms that are similar to PTSD. There are people that are trained to help with that. And probably, if you're listening to this program right now, that may not be your expertise. So the thing that we want to have on hand is the numbers and the telephone numbers and the website addresses of the people that are prepared to help with that. And you can do that. You can have that in your phone ready to go the moment that it's needed and helpful. And that makes me wonder, Matt, can we think of any of those resources?
This is normally where I make an inappropriate joke about the fact that there's nothing that can help, but that seems very inappropriate this week. So I'm just going to go ahead to giving you the resources. Yeah, the number one kind of main thing in the United States is a RAIN. That's the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And they've done a fantastic job really putting together all the things that fall under this large umbrella of sexually abusive behavior. A lot of counseling, a lot of good stuff. So you can go to rainn.org. If you or the person you're helping is more comfortable in Spanish, that's our first language, you know, rainn.org/ES to get the Spanish version of that. They also have the national hotline. You can call anytime, toll-free, 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673. And again, we've pointed this out in other topics we've dealt with on the show. What you're going to find when you go to a RAIN, when you go to a good kind of counseling situation or shelter, that kind of thing, is people who are there to inform you the kind of things we've been telling you. This is something that happened to you, not something you were involved in. And there's life on the other side of it, and they're there to help you find out what that is. We're going to come back with a little bit more right here on The Bridge Loud.
Bridge Loud.
Hey, this is Glenn from the Bridge Loud. Maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, none of this good news applies to me because I've made mistakes and I've got a record. Well, you know what? No problem. We work every day with people who have been and sometimes still are behind bars. We know how to work with that and we ain't scared. Email us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com. That's thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We know you have struggles, we believe in you, and we want to help.
Back with you here on The Bridge Loud, my name is Matt King, and I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
Technically, I think peeing on graves is like an outdoor exposing yourself thing, so it's probably bad.
You're saying there's a danger element?
Yeah. I love that some people may be tuning in just
right now.
Yeah. Well, it's true, nonetheless. Whether you have the context or not, that's a true statement. Also joining us, Jed Brewer.
Glenn, you got to have a system. That's the key thing. You got to have a system.
Okay. No matter what you're doing in life, you got to have a system. Continue to answer a question that came into thebridgeloud@gmail.com, where you are welcome to email in your questions if you'd like. Our friend this week said, a guy I knew from school died last year. After that, I found out he had sexually assaulted my sister. I want to help. What can I do? And we've given you on the show some basics and some good contact information for people to know more. But now we want to speak to the kind of particular expertise we have on this show, which is something a little different, something a little extra, maybe even something a little secret.
The secret sauce.
And Glenn, as we've mentioned, it's worth pointing out that our friend who wrote in this question, this is something happened to a female. It's actually something that happens to a lot of males as well.
Mm-hmm. And definitely.
Often in the inner city and in prison environments where you've been working for a long time. So what are the kind of secret sauce things you've learned to help people out with this?
Well, let's think of a person as sort of a three-layer cake, body, mind, and spirit. You know, what we're talking about here is a physical and sexual abuse that's happened in our body, but it affects our mind. It affects us emotionally in the way we see ourselves, the way we see the world, the trust level that we have, even just a self-image that we have. What we want is a spiritual healing to kind of come from the other side of that equation, to come in and give us a sense of peace, a sense of finding some kind of way of forgiving this person, maybe way down the line as the end of that process, but something that can strengthen us through the whole process, that whole journey. So I think that's going to be the real secret, is having that spiritual development to heal the mind of what the body has gone through.
Absolutely. And Jed, maybe you can close this out with, if we can get someone who has buys into that, says, I want that spiritual element, I think that's a good thing, what is a easy first step we can put before them?
Well, I think what Glenn pointed to is that idea of self-image. That's the thing. You know, we deal with a lot of people that have dealt with sexual abuse, and so often they're tempted to think of themselves as impure and corrupted and
dirty,
and that's all just nonsense. That's simply not true. But here's the funny thing: is those thoughts can be really powerful.
Yeah.
And what I've found as I deal with struggles in my own life, what helps me is asking, well, how does God think of me? You know, I struggle to think of myself as dirty and impure and messed up. But when I turn to God, and particularly in the person of Jesus, what I find is someone who says, you are loved, you are accepted, you are embraced, you are treasured, you are valued. And that presents a lot of really strong and valuable ammunition as I, yes, day by day, moment by moment, fight those negative impulses in my head on the way I see myself.
Absolutely right. Back with you next week on The Bridge Loud.
All right, that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next week on The Bridge Loud. And let us know, are you ready to join The Bridge Loud tribe? We know you've got talents. Maybe you can scream or play the guitar or make a super cool graphic. Love it. Reach out to us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com and tell us what you do. We want your talents and gifts as a part of The Bridge Loud, so don't be shy. Let us know, thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.